So as Bill mentioned, I'm also going to read another passage in addition to the passage that Bill read to us just now, which is from towards the end of the Bible. In fact, it's the second to the last chapter in the Bible. I'm also going to read from a passage towards the beginning of the Bible. And it's also from a book which is similarly difficult and similarly avoided by seminarians. The book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 34, says, "The alien who resides with you shall be to you as a citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." And so for the word of God that is written, and for the word of God that is within us, and the word of God that is round about us, we do give thanks to God. Amen. Every year, our denomination publishes a calendar. It's called the Presbyterian Planning Calendar. And it's a directory for our denomination, and it also has information that helps congregations prepare for worship each Sunday. It has, every Sunday, it gives us the scriptures from the Common Lectionary. And the Common Lectionary is a series of scriptures developed by an ecumenical body for suggestion for use in worship in a variety of kinds of Protestant and Catholic churches. Each week we get a couple of passages from the Old Testament and a couple of passages from the New Testament. But there's also in the Presbyterian Planning Calendar sort of an acknowledgement that not everybody wants to follow the lectionary. And so each Sunday also is given a theme for those who would rather be thematic in their preparation for worship. And so themes can range from, you know, AIDS awareness to a Sunday set aside to honor the work of missionaries or military chaplains. And today is Immigration Sunday. That's the theme for today. And ordinarily, when I prepare for worship and when I write my sermons, I do so following the Common Lectionary. But when I saw that today was Immigration Sunday, I felt like it was important for me to go thematic this week. Because immigration is a hot topic right now, and it is a hot button issue right now, and I think it is something that is deeply important to the ancient wisdom of Scripture. And therefore, it is my firm belief that immigration is something that Christians should be talking about when we gather to worship, and not just today because it's Immigration Sunday, but frequently. Immigration is a topic that we should be talking about. Now, part of the reason I think we should be talking about immigration is because I wrote a book about immigration a couple of years ago, and I want everybody to buy my book about immigration, but you know, when I wrote my book on immigration, I was actually sort of wondering if the book would still be relevant by the time I finished writing it. It seemed to me that the book might be too late, and it might flop, because I thought maybe the Obama administration just might be able to pull off some kind of just, compassionate, comprehensive immigration reform before I finished writing. It was an odd experience because I wanted to write a book that would sell, but I also hoped I would write a book that wouldn't need to sell. It was an odd experience for me. And unfortunately, the Obama administration's immigration legacy will forever be defined not by making our immigration system more just, but rather the Obama administration's legacy will be defined by the imprisonment of immigrant children. That's a practice which started in the Obama administration and was handed on to the current administration, who took a policy that was entirely evil and made it much, much worse. In the last week or so, we have seen photos of the conditions in which detained immigrants, including children, are living along the U.S.-Mexico border. We have heard that a congressional delegation went to the border to see those conditions, and they were shocked by what they saw, even though the United States Customs and Border Protection knew they were coming and presumably were on their best behavior when they got there. We have heard that the agents of the above-mentioned agency responded to their congressional critics not by addressing the situation, but by setting up a Facebook page filled with denigrating, misogynistic, racist, and otherwise offensive posts about certain members of Congress. In recent days, we the people have been asking if it's appropriate to speak of the immigrant detention centers as concentration camps. And historians who study concentration camps tend to agree that the answer is yes. So what are we supposed to do about this as people of faith? I think it's important here to distinguish between our response as citizens and our response as people of faith. See, as citizens, how we respond is maybe a little easier. How we respond as citizens is we vote, right? We protest. We raise hell. We read our history books and we learn from them. But as people of faith, well, as people of faith, I hope we do all that too. But the motivation, the driving force behind our civic engagement and our civil disobedience is different. As citizens, we're motivated by a dream, a belief in what the United States has been, can be, and should be. As citizens, we are motivated by faith in America's potential to be good. Now, I might argue that such belief and faith are misplaced because what is happening along the U.S.-Mexico border is only the most prominent contemporary iteration of the kind of behavior in which the United States has been engaged since the very beginning. But still, a lot of us believe in our potential to be better, and such a belief is necessary if we're going to get better. But as people of faith, we need to ask what role the things of the Spirit should play in motivating us to work towards the well-being of immigrants. It is my firm and sincere belief that the Spirit calls us to speak out on behalf of immigrants, to march, to leave water in the desert, to unlock cages metaphorically and please God physically and literally if possible. And for Christians anyway, Spirit calls us to this work, asking us to be informed by the past and inspired by the future. And this is why I chose the two passages that we read this morning. The passage I read to you from Leviticus is one version of a commandment that is also found in Exodus and Deuteronomy. Be kind, show justice to the sojourner, the alien, the immigrant in your land, because you were immigrants in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord. I like that. I am the Lord. That's the God putting an exclamation point on that commandment. This commandment, some version of it, is it's the commandment most often read and quoted by Christians when we talk about immigration. The commandment itself was written a long time before the invention of international borders as we know them today, but the principle expressed in it feels entirely relevant. Remember your history. Treat immigrants with justice and dignity because you were immigrants. As they are, you once were. As you are, they shall be. I am the Lord your God. I think this passage is particularly important for Americans of European ancestry to hear. Because if you, like me, if you are a person of European ancestry living in the United States, your people came to North America as immigrants, probably as immigrants by choice. Now, the same can be said for a lot of Asian Americans and Hispanic Americans, and for those Americans of African descent whose ancestors came to the United States since the 20th century. But immigration policy was first set in the 1870s, immigration policy has been almost exclusively set by European Americans for the benefit of European Americans, particularly for the benefit of Protestant Americans whose ancestors came from Northern Europe. So while it is good for everyone to hear this commandment, people like me really need to hear this commandment. Be kind, show justice to the sojourner, the alien living in your land, because you were immigrants. You were foreigners in the land of Egypt. And here's what I know. The people who set American immigration policy straight up forgot or ignored or never learned what the Spirit calls us to remember, acknowledge, and know. We are to treat immigrants as we ourselves want to be treated, because immigrants and citizens are the same. The only thing that separates an immigrant and a citizen is time and maybe some generations. And neither time nor generations should limit a person's access to basic human dignity. Because I am a person of faith, the Spirit calls me to remember the stories of my ancestors, leaving the several places in Europe that they left before coming to the United States. Scotland and England, Ireland, Wales, Switzerland, Italy. They left for economic reasons and for religious reasons and because of at least one awkwardly timed pregnancy. The Spirit calls me to remember that if my ancestors were immigrants from Mexico and Central America today, they would not make it across the border. If my ancestors were coming today from south of the border, they would be locked in cages, just like immigrants are being locked in cages today. They would be separated from their children. They would be denied due process. They would be deprived of human rights. That's what would happen to my immigrants, my ancestors, were they immigrating today. And that's not okay. And so if the Spirit calls us to be active, and so the Spirit calls us to be active, not just on behalf of those held in concentration camps along the border, but also on behalf of their yet unborn descendants. Which brings me to the future. The Spirit calls us to remember not just our past, but the Spirit also calls us to remember our future. And that's why I asked Bill to read to us from the inconvenient book of Revelation. I don't know exactly what the future has in store for humanity, and it's been a long time since I believed that the book of Revelation functions as some kind of crystal ball that could help us see into the future. But what this passage and others like it does is it communicates something of God's hope and design for humanity. It tells us of the divine aspiration, and the divine aspiration for us is that in the fullness of time, we will all be immigrants together in the kingdom of God. Again, that's not some sort of vision about what's absolutely going to happen, but instead, this is meant to provide us with a glimpse into divine values. This is what God wants for the human family, that we live side by side, and everyone is an immigrant. And everyone is welcome. And everyone has equal status in the city of God. And I don't believe that the Spirit is asking us to wait for this vision to become a reality. Rather, the Spirit calls us to remember the future as we consider the present. We need to consider the fact that the United States is actively separating children from their parents and holding them in overcrowded cages. And then we have to ask, does this look even remotely like what God has in mind for humanity? Is the denial of asylum claims or the turning away of refugees or the demonization of immigrants, does this bear any resemblance to the hopes and the dreams of the Spirit of God? Of course not. Dearly beloved, things have got to change. And we can be a part of that change, and we should be a part of that change. And as we work together, we should work to change immigration policies and practices motivated not just by American citizenship, but by our spiritual history and our spiritual future as immigrants in the kingdom of God. In a few minutes, we will be taking communion, and when we do, we will be reenacting the Spirit's vision for the future when we're all immigrants in God's kingdom. For when we come to the table, we remember that we come alongside many who will come from north and south and east and west, people of every time and of every place, of every language, of every race. And we will sit together, and Christ Himself shall serve us. And none will be in cages, and none will be denied justice, and none will be denied hope, for we are all God's children. So come and be inspired. Come and be motivated. Come and hear the call of the Spirit as she invites us to create a world where immigrants are treated with justice, the same justice we would want for our ancestors, the same justice we hope for our descendants. Come and dream of a place where all receive a warm welcome. Come and dream of the city of God. Amen.